is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
You said you've made transgressions. How would you, in your own words, describe?
I worry day to day, honestly, I really do, because I pray to make sure...
As a female, as a Muslim, as a student of this university...
No, I don't buy it. He didn't, you know, he did apologize.
You got a loaded gun. Was your gun loaded today?
That's just stuck on stupid.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch.
Yes!
Why is that freaking Ellis Hennigan over there on Red Eye, man?
I don't know. They like how dumb he is.
Okay. We're going to have Ted Bell on the line here. I just wanted to mention a new study says toddlers should face an intervention if they're too fat. Plus, if you're in Boston, D.C., San Francisco, or Atlanta, you may become a victim, and we say may, you may become a victim of cybercrime. We got Ted Bell in Beverly Hills tonight with us.
Ted of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
Hey, thanks very much, Bill. This is Ted Bell. Come on down to Ted's of Beverly Hills. We still have the juiciest tenderloin. We got that beef tenderloin, and we've got that beautiful, beautiful porterhouse steak for two.
We want to put our meat in your mouth.
Ted Bell with us from Ted's of Beverly Hills, and you have a porterhouse for two, man, huh?
Yeah, and you were in the other night, weren't you?
I did come in, and it was delicious. I want to let everybody know that porterhouse for two, what is that? 48 ounces?
That is 48 ounces, and we bring it to your table. And remember, at Ted's of Beverly Hills, this is not a sizzler, and I don't mean to put down sizzler, but when you ask for how you want your steak cooked, you know that we recommend medium to medium rare. As a matter of fact, Bill, a lot of people don't know this, but rare steak should be cold in the middle.
You know, I didn't know that until I went to, it wasn't your restaurant, it was another one. I think it was a Ruth's Chris in Mexico.
And
I can hear the way you said,
I can understand. You can't eat in my restaurant all the time.
All right, but I went and it was cold, and they kept coming back and saying, "No, senor, no, that's exactly how a rare steak is supposed to be cooked."
Well, in this instance, I'm going to have to concur with my. What part of Mexico was it?
Cancun.
Well, they should know. They do a lot of tourist business here. But I do want to mention that is how it's supposed to be cooked.
All right, Ted. Now let me before we. Move off into any other business. I want to thank you on behalf of Kids for USA, which is the fitness organization for kids, donating those three Lakers seats for the, I believe, and Jason will give me the, I think it's April the 2nd?
I don't know. I know it's a Jazz game.
Yeah, the Lakers and the Jazz. And I want to thank you very, very much for donating those three tickets for the kids so that they can enjoy themselves and watch the basketball game.
I do want to tell you, Bill, that we do what we can for the community, and we do have those Lakers seats. Those are generally seats that we use for clients, and when you said that you wanted this for a fitness organization, I was willing, you know, to talk with you about it. I want to tell you that I did not know the ins and the outs of the organization you were talking about.
Well, I just wanted to thank you. You're not familiar with Kids for USA?
I was not. I thought you said to me it was a fitness organization.
It is a fitness. It's to help children get into shape.
I thought that this was a group of young people that are currently fit. Now, this is a communication problem, and I don't have any. I'm not blaming you. I think it is an unfortunate misunderstanding. And these misunderstandings happen. But I wanted to say to you on this show, on the air, so that your listeners can hear me and know that I am not a guy that hides from responsibility. I am saying to you that I apologize that I did not get the full information about this organization. And as a result, as you know, I cannot honor your request for these tickets.
Ted, there's nothing wrong with this organization, I can tell you that.
No, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with the organization.
Well, I think that you didn't tell me that you were going to say this.
I did not have this information until just before we went on the air. And I don't want to embarrass you, Phil.
I want to say right now, Kids for USA is a legitimate organization that helps children with weight issues, helps children with conditioning issues. This is a major news story, all right? And I don't want anybody getting any idea that there's something wrong with them.
I'm not saying that at all.
Well, I think that when you come on the program and you tell me that you are going to decline our request for tickets.
Bill, I would not have done that had I had an opportunity to tell you off the air. But I just got the information from Kelly literally 30 seconds before we went on the air.
What information is it that you get? I don't understand.
Well, the information, it's got nothing to do with the organization. It has to do with my relationship with the Los Angeles Lakers. And what I mean by that is my relationship as a season ticket purchaser. And you have to understand what I do for a living. I'm involved in contact with customers. And
no, I know that. What's the problem? Why can't you give us these tickets?
The nature of the organization is one that I don't think is conducive to our business.
I want you to be clear, Ted, if you wanted to bring this up on the air.
No, I'm not hiding from anything, Phil. If you want to ask me a question.
What is it that you don't want? You're making by, you know, I started this quarter hour thanking you for these tickets. Now you're telling me there's not going to be any tickets.
I explained that to you.
To be honest with you, not very satisfactorily.
Why not?
Even if you only found out 30 seconds before we went on the air, you could have said to me, Phil, can I talk to you about something at the break? And
on the air?
Yes, you could have said that on the air.
Well, then what are we going to talk about for 15 minutes?
I would have found something else to talk about.
Well, I'm sorry, Phil, but I sponsored this segment, so I had to make a judgment call.
So you make a judgment call by saying that we're not going to get these three tickets, these Lakers season tickets that you have to use, because of the nature of the charity that I'm involved in.
Not because there's anything wrong with the charity, because if I have those kids sitting in my seats, then people see that there are people sitting in Ted Bell's Lakers seats. One of the things that I think is unfair about this is you make me look like that I'm somehow the bad guy here.
Well, Ted, you're the guy that is not explaining anything. You're taking away three tickets that you promised to three kids because of the nature of the organization.
I'm trying to express this in a way that your audience will understand. This is a fitness organization, right?
Yes.
And the children that are in this organization have an obesity problem. Is that correct?
Yes, they do, and it happens to be.
All right, I'm not knocking the nature of the work that's done by this great organization. I'm saying, if I've got three children, you understand that if a Laker game is televised, or they have the Jumbotron, or they have any kind of telegenic or video equipment, that there are three kids sitting in my seats that obviously are not what you see at a courtside seat at a Laker game. To give you an example. You know that Jack Nicholson and Lou Adler and people like that are there. You know, Diane Cannon and so forth. Matt McConaughey is there. Sandra Bullock is there.
What are you telling me, man, that three fat kids don't belong?
I did not use that word at all, Phil. I did not use that word at all.
Are you telling me that you can't have three kids? Okay.
Look, Zac Efron has season tickets to the Lakers. And I know you know who he is.
Now, frankly, yeah, vaguely.
Vaguely, huh? Well, you know, he may be listening to you.
Well, I'm sorry, vaguely. Is he a TV guy?
Yeah, he's a TV guy. You know...
Ted, I'm not really interested in who's sitting courtside. I want to know that you've taken away these tickets from these kids, and I'm beginning to get the idea that you took the tickets away from these kids because they're not presentable?
I want you to remember something, Mr. Henry. I'm a father.
I know you are.
And I'm also your sponsor.
I know that, too.
And you made a reference just then that I think there's something wrong with the way these kids look. I don't think there's anything wrong with the way they look. I think that it clashes. I think the way they look and a courtside seat at a Laker game clashes.
Clashes? What do you mean a clash? What are we talking about? Wearing a pair of pants with the wrong sports jacket? I'm talking here about...
No, I don't try your jokes with me.
No, I'm not trying to do any jokes. You're the guy that said it clashes. These are kids that wanted to see the Lakers, and you won't let them sit courtside because they're too fat.
Again, I'm a father and your sponsor, and I do not want you to make the claim that I don't want kids there that are too fat.
Then why don't you want those kids sitting there?
I'm going to be at the game. You know that, right?
Yes.
All right, that's me, Ted Bell, and I'm sitting with these three kids. Is that correct?
Yes, you knew that.
Yeah. I didn't know it was going to be me wearing probably pretty expensive, some kind of an expensive sports jacket. I got Jack Nicholson there, and the Jumbotron lights up, and there am I with these three little people, and God love them, but they look like maybe someone pumped them full of air. I don't know what they look like. And
so what? And you know, your jokes aren't funny either.
I'm not joking. I've got three children with the round. You make this very difficult.
Ted, I'm not making anything difficult. You don't want to be seen on the Jumbotron with three fat kids.
I did not say that. And I'm going to warn you for the last time, I don't want to hear that word.
All right. You don't want to be seen on the Jumbotron with three kids who got big round faces and look like they've been pumped full of air.
Had you sent me headshots of these kids ahead of time, all of this could have been avoided.
I didn't know that I had to send headshots of children from a charity so they could sit in your courtside seats.
I want to go on record. Had you sent me headshots, 8x10s, and a resume on each of these children.
What kind of resume? All right, hold on for a minute. 877-876-PHIL. Get on the line with him and find out, if you wouldn't mind, Bud, what exactly this means. If we don't have the tickets for the April 2nd game, which is what he is telling me, am I able to... maybe I'll just purchase all four of those seats from him, and then he won't have to be there. You see what I'm saying? 877-876-PHIL. Your call's next for Ted Bell. We're talking about a Laker game that we were going to have three kids from USA for Kids. These kids are overweight, and Mr. Bell has withdrawn the offer of the tickets because he doesn't want to be seen on the Jumbotron with these three little fat children. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Oh, you really like making me look bad, don't you? I want to go on record as saying we do support children. This is a conversation that I wished I would have had on the air.
Here at Ted's, we want to put our meat in your mouth.
And I want to also say something, Phil.
Hold on for a minute. Back here with Ted Bell on the Phil Hendry Show, our number 877-876-PHIL. Yes, sir?
I don't appreciate having that jingle with the closing line, considering the fact that we're talking about children. Certainly, Phil, you understand it.
Wait, hold on for a minute. That's your advertising slogan, and you knew we were going to talk about kids.
I don't like that you're playing that with, we want to put our, etc.
All right, I won't play it.
Well, but I paid for the airtime. That's the dilemma I'm having. And we're talking about, so you know that I love children.
Ted, I know you love children. I also know that you pulled away three tickets to a Laker game for these kids that you had promised them because they're overweight.
Okay, thank you. You didn't use fat. I don't even like the word overweight.
Well, I'm not going to say because they look like they've been pumped full of air.
Can we not use something that is less offensive? Can't we say that these kids have a plump? Can we say that they're pleasingly plump?
Well, they can't be that pleasingly plump. You don't want to see them in your seats.
I don't want to see them in my seat.
In your three seat.
Oh, no, I don't. I didn't say that either. What I'm trying to get at here, I'm sitting next to Jack Black, I'm sitting next to Snoop Dogg, I've got Diane Cannon, Zac Efron, and then you want me sitting there in a brand new sports jacket with three little roly-poly.
Ted, you don't want to use the word fat because you've already disappointed three children. So you say roly-poly. You say...
So look, don't talk to me like I'm in the third grade.
I'm not.
Then you don't have to go, Ted, you say roly-poly. I find it homoerotic.
Well, I'm trying to be as you know what? I'm trying to keep a lid on it, too, here. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Ray in Chattanooga listening to us on WPLZ. Ray, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
I got one question asked.
I don't understand if I'm answering questions
Ted,
for people.
I've got a talk show that I got to do.
Are you a chubby that a chubby woman said no to you?
Is this guy talking to me?
I'm talking to
me?
The idiot that's hurting these kids.
Idiot? I've got a to run. I've got a business to run. I have a
Listen. 12 years ago, I weighed 500 pounds. Today, I weigh 225. If somebody had treated me the way you're treating these three kids, I would have stayed fat.
Well, that's your decision. I mean, even at 225, you're still not going to make it into the seats that I own.
And I can buy for you three times. I can buy and pay for you three times and not get out of my front pocket.
You can buy and pay for me three times what? If I got a Slurpee at 7-Eleven? I'm talking about a steakhouse.
I can buy you, your wife, your children, your grandparents, your parents, your aunts, your uncles, your brothers, your sisters, your cats, your dogs, and not get out of my front pocket.
Not eating the way you eat, you can't. You're going to have to cut back.
And, all right, you know what? We can make all the
I'm not making a joke, Phil.
I'm being just as serious as a sawed-off shotgun.
I'm being serious, too. And when you've got... really? So you got a lot of money, huh? Can you afford $40,000 a seat ringside at the Lakers? Thank you.
Get out of my left front pocket.
You may have something in your left front pocket, but I don't think it's 40 grand. I can tell you that... that's true. I can tell you... You know what? He's got in his left front pocket. He's got a joint...
Never mind, okay?
I can tell
Mr. Henry, you have a wonderful evening.
These seats... he's hanging up. And what that means, Phil, is he gets the moral high road by hanging up on me. Now, I have told you before, I'm a sponsor, and what I'm trying to make a point, especially when you have embarrassed me, and I'm trying to dig my way out of a tomb, that allow these people to hang up on me. And
I can't keep a guy from hanging up on you if he's going to hang up.
But that gives him the moral high ground. And
Ted, when you come on the show and say to me, on the air, you could have done it off the air.
Here you go again with the off the air.
You could have said it off the air. When you come on, you say, I'm sorry, I can't give those tickets to those kids for the Laker game because, and I'm going to say it, and I don't care if you don't like it, because they're too fat and I don't want to have them on the Jumbotron.
And I like the way you use the word Jumbotron because you're referring to those poor children like they're jumbo. Would you like to say that? Is that what you want to say? That I've got three jumbo size. You have embarrassed me, Phil. I'm a sponsor.
Ted, I didn't embarrass you at all. You've used the words jumbo, pumped full of air, roly-poly, pleasingly plump. You don't want to say the children are overweight. This is a charity that I have devoted a lot of time and money to. This is a charity that we were very, very happy when you said you'd donate those three courtside seats for those kids. And then you find out that they're overweight.
Can you tell me how big they are?
Who?
The kids.
I don't know how big they are, and I wouldn't if I could.
Well, I'm told that 61 pounds is normal weight for a 9-year-old kid. How old are they, 9?
Yeah.
Well, if they're... Oh, boy, are you telling me they're over 100 pounds? You know.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to Michael in Los Angeles. Michael, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Michael in Los Angeles listening on K-Talk. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, sir.
I just have one
Fine.
Question. How stupid are you to make such an ass out of yourself on the air? And I'm not talking to you, Phil. I'm talking to your sponsor.
No, Mr. Hendry did not give me the entire information about this promotion that he wanted to do.
It's not a promotion.
You pretend like you're going to give him the tickets, and then after the segment is over, you break it to him gently. It's not like anyone would have really found out. It wouldn't have been front page news. But instead, you've made a complete moron of yourself in front of however many listeners this show has, which I assume is quite a few. So, good job, moron.
Well, not after tonight. You see, you call me a name, sir, and you don't know, I don't know whether or not you own a business. I own a business.
I do own a business, and let's look at this mathematically. I've called you one name. You've managed to call these poor kids five or six names so far.
I did not. Mr. Hendry is the one that referred to them as fat.
You know, you're calling them roly-poly and pleasingly plump and all of this pumped full of air and everything else. Michael, I have to take a break. I appreciate very much your call. Our number, 877-876-PHIL.
That man insulted me, and you stood there and you let it happen, almost as if I were your date, you would have just allowed him to pick me up and throw me in the trunk of a car.
Phil Hendry.
Walking naked except high heels.
World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
We're very proud to sponsor this portion of the Phil Hendry Show. Well, you bought it. You bought it, you keep it.
Here at Ted's, we want to put our meat in your mouth.
You're a sponsor, Ted. I'm proud to have you as a sponsor.
Yeah, but what has happened on this program is I think that you've allowed the reputation of my restaurant and my business to suffer because you're trying to make a point with a lot of your liberal listeners, Phil. I never call any of those children fat. You're aware of what the Mann Act is, aren't you?
I beg your pardon?
You know what the Mann Act is.
The Mann Act, yes, I do.
All right. Then you know it's white slaving.
Yes.
All right. What you did to me and that last caller is not the Mann Act, but it's the talk radio version of that. In other words, you let him buy me. And
that call... Are you kidding or something?
No, I am not kidding. He bought me and used me, and you allowed it to happen.
You're a sponsor on this show, yes, but you still have to defend why it is you will not let three children who are overweight use those seats for the Laker game with a better excuse than you don't want to be seen on the Jumbotron with them.
I never said that. You're the one that drew the connection between the Jumbotron and the size of those children. I said to you that I wanted you to use the terms pudgy but husky, didn't I?
During this commercial break, yes.
All right.
So these children are pudgy but husky.
They are. And it is with great regret that I can't... Look, I'm Ted Bell. If I'm sitting with Zac Efron, I don't know, it's anything you can understand.
Well, go try me, man.
If I'm sitting with these people and I've got on a brand new sports jacket...
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to Joanne. She is listening to us tonight on KPWT. Hello, Joanne. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Ted Bell.
Hi there. I just a comment and a question. If he has children, and if these were his children or his grandchildren, and they were pleasantly plump or whatever he wants to call them, would he be embarrassed to take them and let them sit in those seats and be on the Jumbotron also?
Well, ma'am, you used the term I didn't want. Pleasingly plump, I did not use that term.
Okay.
You used it. What term?
I told you the term pudgy but husky. Husky.
Okay, even husky.
All right.
I mean,
and what was your question?
If you have children or grandchildren that are husky, would you be embarrassed to take them and have them sitting in those seats next to you?
Would I be embarrassed to have them sitting in the seats next to me?
Yes.
If it was known that they were my grandchildren, yes. And I would have to have some kind of indication that they're my grandchildren. The point that I'm making is if I'm sitting in those seats and I've got grandchildren or children sitting with me, whether they have name tags or a sign, something that is seen on the Jumbotron.
Are you telling me you'd put signs around their necks?
So that people would know. What did the lady ask me?
She wanted to know, would you have a problem sitting with overweight children?
I didn't approve the use of that word.
Well, I'm using it, Ted. Overweight children of yours or grandchildren of yours, would you have a problem with that?
And I said no.
Yeah, you said you wouldn't have a problem if you hung a sign around their neck that said, what would it say?
It would say Ted's grandkid. Did I answer the question?
No, you didn't, ma'am? Because what's the difference if your grandchildren were heavier versus these children, it is medical things, not that they're, you know, just overeaters.
Well, that's the thing. That's the thing, because if they were my grandchildren, because I own a restaurant, the chances are they would be husky or pudgy, would be the result of food that I serve them at my restaurant, as opposed to some glandular problem.
My
kids, if I had proper signage on them. And
so you've got a sign around your kid that says Ted's grandkid, so people are going to know that that child is pudgy or husky.
No, I said pudgy and husky.
The kid is pudgy and husky because he got that way eating your food.
Yes, that is what I think is the logical conclusion. Now, what the lady's asking me has to do with glandular conditions. I don't know about that. And that's what I'm worried about, because Henry is going to have these three three kids with a gland, some kind of a distorted gland.
Well, you know, if you weren't so snobbish, you wouldn't be wearing these awfully expensive suits. You would be afraid to get ruined or soiled or whatever you think you would catch from sitting next to these children. You know, I think it's pathetic.
If you go to a Laker game, you wear a brand new sports jacket. You've got a child that is husky. They have a perspiration.
But why are you wearing
all kinds of body oils?
Jacket?
What about the body oils?
What do you mean?
This is ridiculous.
Ted, that's a hell of a thing to say about children.
Wait a minute. Now, are you telling me there wouldn't be body oils?
What about body oils and your sports jacket? Take your sports jacket, leave it at home, wear a sweatshirt or a T-shirt. You're going to a basketball game.
I'm sitting courtside, thank you.
Oh, well, excuse me, you're sitting courtside.
And we know all America's watching him courtside.
Yeah, you think you're Jack Nicholson? Is that it?
Oh, I see. So you're jealous, huh?
No. But can I call you Mr. Nicholson?
Phil, don't go there.
No, seriously. Can I call you Mr. Nicholson? And, oh, wow. And, hey, I got a great idea, Ted. Why don't you wear your shades, too?
You know, you're really starting to piss me off. Excuse my language, ma'am, but he's doing this on purpose.
No, you should wear your sunglasses and your sports jacket, and then people will think...
As educated as you are, can be prejudiced against children.
I'm not prejudiced, ma'am. I'm simply trying to say that with a business to run, I'm sitting next to three husky kids with body oil.
But instead of looking at it as a business to run, you should look at this as an opportunity to prove what a great person you are and how you care about what these kids are going through.
Exactly. Hey, Ted, I got a great idea. Why don't you?
I think you should have to call these children, and you should tell them you're not going.
Okay. Well, that's great.
Oh, you know what? That's a great idea, Joanne.
Are you going to make me do? You can't make me do that.
That's a great idea, Joanne. Thank you so much for your call. 877-876-PHIL. I got a great idea, Ted. Why don't you dress all three of these kids in sunglasses and like Jack Nicholson gear, and they'll be like three miniature Jack Nicholson's.
You know what, Phil? You want to make your jokes.
No, I'm not joking at all. That way you wouldn't be embarrassed. So they'll all three have sunglasses, and they'll have their, binoculars. They'll look like Nicholson.
You know, he sits just down court from me. And if I walk in with three huskies who are...
Three huskies?
Three husky kids who are dressed up to look like him, he's going to think that I'm running some kind of a scavenger hunt. He's going to think that I am real nowhere, like I'm all thrilled that I'm sitting next to him. I don't want that to be the case. I certainly don't want to embarrass these children. You'd embarrass them by dressing them as Jack Nicholson.
I dress them as Jack Nicholson, and I dress you as Diane Cannon.
Okay, here, hold on for a minute. Here, listen. Oh, God. Oh, that's great. Are you happy?
877-87. Ted, you started the whole...
Oh, you started it all, huh, Ted? You're the guy that booked three pudge kids. You booked...
I didn't book anything. We gave it away because you said we could. David, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Ted Bell.
Hello.
Yes.
Basically, why doesn't he step up, be nice, keep the donation, he can have them announce over Jumbotron that...
The Jumbotron?
Jumbotron, sir, that he has given these kids a chance to come to a basketball game because they're working on losing weight as a incentive. And that way he doesn't have to worry about his reputation that he has. They can announce that he looks good in good grades.
I understand. But the point that I was trying to make to Mr. Henry, and he wouldn't listen to it, If I bring three children who have this, who have a husky, who tend to be husky, and then you put them on something called a Jumbotron, you don't think that'd hurt their feelings?
It should.
Oh, so that
they're going to be happy that they're at the game, that you're announcing that they're trying to lose weight, and that's why you're bringing them to the game as an incentive to continue working at losing more weight. So everybody's a win-win situation.
If we had the announcer, and I forget what that guy, Lawrence Tanner, and he's got a lisp. If we,
what difference does it make?
The point is, if he says, courtside, we've got three kids from the, you know, from the fat center, if you want to use that word, on our Jumbotron. Now you are, now you've used jumbo and fat. You see what I mean?
Well, no, he doesn't see what you mean. I don't see what you mean.
Everybody knows that it's called a Jumbotron.
Let me ask you a question. David, are you overweight?
Him on a Jumbotron that they're fat.
Are you husky?
I am overweight. I have lost about 12 pounds.
I still need
to lose about 20 more.
And if you were on a, you would not be offended if someone said, "There's David on the Jumbo," you know, and you know how Lawrence Tanner sounds.
No, I'd be happy. I've been on the Jumbotron at the Padres game before.
Yeah, I'll bet
you
have.
I was actually happy. I was waving at the Jumbotron as I was sitting there in the seat, happy.
And you didn't mind when the Padre announcer said, "And there's David on our Jumbotron."
Well, all right, you know what? Now what he's doing is he's screwing around.
I'm not screwing around. I'm trying to make lemonade out of lemons. I'm trying to make some lemonade out of the lemons you handed me, Hendry.
You're the guy that said, David.
I'm not accusing you. I'm just trying to put you on good footing so that you won't not give these kids who are deserving of these tickets.
Sir, if I walk into the Staples Center with these three husky kids, I'm not going to be on good footing. The floor will collapse.
David, thank you very much for your call. He's really funny. Yeah, he's real, real funny.
All right, so I got off one cutie.
Yeah, you got off one cutie and dropped your phone.
Oh. Like that?
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Ted, for nothing. 877, what?
Yeah, play it. They're going to get angry and everything about it.
Now I got to play a stinking jingle. 877-876-PHIL. Thanks so much, Ted Bell. Do I got to get him back on the air?
Yeah.
Hang up on me. I'll tell you something. I will flay you alive. I'll cut your head off with a dull knife. We on the air? And Ted Bell, sponsoring the Phil Hendry Show.
Here at Ted's, we want to put our meat in your mouth.
Phil Hendry.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Don't forget, folks, we're very, very excited because we certainly do have a very special announcement to make. Friday at 7 p.m., Friday night, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, it'll be...
What a wonderful...
Get out of here with this.
This is a great song.
It's stupid as... So- anyway, our website on Friday night. 7 p.m. Pacific. All right, Seattle, Boston, D.C. named. What does Seattle, Boston, and D.C. have in common? They are among the riskiest online cities. The riskiest online cities. The following are ranked by Norton, the famous antivirus software company. They are ranked by Norton the top 10 riskiest online cities. Number one, Seattle. Number two is Boston. Number three is Washington, D.C. Number four is San Francisco. Number five is Raleigh, North Carolina. Number six is Atlanta, Georgia. Seven, Minneapolis. Eight, Denver. Nine, Austin. And 10, Portland, Oregon. You'll notice that New York is not there. Los Angeles is not there. Of the most populous cities in the United States, Boston, D.C., San Francisco, Atlanta. Now, when I say top most populous, I mean the top 10 most populous cities. And the rest are smaller cities. But Seattle has the distinction of being the birthplace of grunge and housing the nation's first Starbucks. But it's now the U.S. city's most vulnerable to cybercrime. Symantec's Norton team, they teamed up with research firm Sperling to rank the top 50 riskiest online cities. Seattle, Boston, and D.C. topped the list. The study looked for residents who engaged in behavior that could expose them to cybercrime, like, for instance, online shopping and banking, as well as wireless internet access. Researchers then looked at the number of cyber attacks and potential infections as recorded by Symantec's security response. They also looked at the level of internet access, how much people spent on hardware and software, wireless hotspots, and broadband connectivity. All of these things went into them figuring out which cities are the riskiest for online crime. Do I know what I'm talking about? No. But I do see where a lot of online shopping, a lot of online banking, that would expose you to, you know, being exposed. There's wireless internet access. And then they have a bunch of other jazz here. According to Marion Merritt, who is the Norton Internet Safety Advocate, with more people than ever relying on the internet to stay in touch, shop, and pay their bills, feeling confident and secure in our information-driven world is vital. This study highlights the cities most at risk of cybercrime and reminds individuals, families, and businesses across the country of the hazards. But what is the most important aspect of this story, folks? Does anybody know? I've got money that no one knows. Bud, do you know?
What do you mean?
What's the most important aspect to this story about the riskiest cities when it comes to online activity?
The number one city is Seattle, and that's supposed to be a really, you know, nice place.
Wrong. The number one thing is the fact that this entire article is an advertisement for Norton's antivirus products. You see?
Oh!
Exactly. And this is what you call, and remember what I told you guys earlier in the show, that the number one story is media? Really, that's the number one story, media. Right under your noses, folks, unless if you didn't have Phil here to sort of point it out to you, right under your noses, Norton, the software company, slipped a news story, and they said, oh, the riskiest, and we're all listening and we're interested. Well, really what this is one big piece of ad copy for Norton, the antivirus company. Now, PC World published this, and I'm not saying they're not a legitimate company, but what I am saying is that Norton, somebody at Norton, came up with a bright idea. Hey, I know. Why don't we have the 10 riskiest cities, and we'll put it under our heading, and we'll release it as a press release. And everybody, oh, well, Norton, the antivirus company, and they came up with the whole thing. This is brilliant advertising. It's great marketing. It probably serves a pretty good purpose. I don't know. I will, however, say this to you, folks. I put secondary to Norton advertising itself, secondary to that, is exactly how accurate this list is. I'm not trying to knock them. I use their product. But I do not believe that when you look at an article like this, you should say, this is really good stuff to know. I think what you should say first off is, Norton antivirus, man, they really got a great marketing arm. Because look at what they were able to plant in PC World. And then, and only then, should you look at the list and say, well, let's take a look at the list and see if it, you know, adds up. So, I knew you guys wouldn't get it.
Well, who got to think about that, man? You got to be suspicious of everybody? You don't mean you don't trust no one?
It's not that I don't trust people, Robert. It's that you got to just see what it's about, man. It's not that I don't trust people. I'm not even saying it's a bad thing to do. I'm just saying notice it. You got to notice it, man. You've got to notice it, baby. All right, let me go over now to our stories that we couldn't get to here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Self-executing rules reported by... Wait a minute, that's not one of them. Let's see. San Diego golfers beat the odds by scoring back-to-back holes in one on the same hole. Two golfers at a San Diego area country club drew a most unlikely pair of aces. Charles T. White nailed a hole-in-one in the ninth hole on Sunday in Bernardo Heights Country Club. Next up in the foursome was Kitty Tinker, who matched it. The player's reaction, White says, disbelief is a good word. A spokesman for the club confirmed the consecutive aces on Monday. 2000 Golf Digest study calculated the odds of two golfers in the same foursome acing the same hole at 17 million to one. The club gives players a round of free drinks for each time a hole-in-one is is hit. Boy, that's kind of cheap, isn't it? Well, anyway, how about a car or something? Anyway, this time there were two rounds of drinks because there were two holes in one, see? And so that... Anyway, supersizing the Last Supper. Well, we've been overeating our way through ever larger portions over the past 1,000 years, according to a U.S. study revealing after studying more than 50 paintings of the biblical Last Supper. The study by a Cornell University professor and his brother, who is a Presbyterian minister and a religious studies professor, showed that the sizes of the portions and plates in the artworks, which were painted over the past millennium, have gradually grown by between 23 and 69%. This finding suggests that the phenomenon of serving bigger portions on bigger plates, which pushes people to overeat, has also occurred gradually over the same period. The last 1,000 years have witnessed dramatic increases in the production, availability, the safety, the abundance, and the affordability of food. Well, isn't that just brilliant? Obviously it has. World famous Phil Hendry Show, produced by Jason Rance, technical director Ralph Rodriguez. Until tonight and tomorrow morning, pleasant good morning from El Pacifico. Good night.
Phil Hendry.